Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, this is Abe Thompson from the New Cyber Frontier podcast, globally known and certainly very fun. We have the distinct privilege today of having as our guest the CEO of Berkeley Veritronic Systems, but also the author of a couple of books, or a few books, most notably Hacked Again, and Cybersecurity is Everybody's Business. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be on. Thanks for having me.
So, Scott, I mean, obviously, you've dabbled in the writing medium, as well as obviously been very successful as an expert in cybersecurity and gotten to where you are there at Berkeley. Give us a little sense for your journey. How'd you get started in all this?
Yeah, actually, a background running Berkeley Veritronics for the past couple decades here as president and CEO, we focus on wireless threat detection tools that we sell to many different cyber agencies throughout the government, as well as Fortune 500 companies. And the more and more tools that we sell and educate people, what ends up happening is that the hackers really kind of put a target on my back and repeatedly have gone after me, which makes it really challenging to run a business and educate people at the same time. So in this journey is kind of how the books came about, and more security tools that we developed, really just listening to people, hearing companies, hearing government agencies complain about the different threats that they face. And then we in turn develop solutions and continually educate and help them to fight the battle against cyber criminals. So sure. It's been a great journey, and it continues to change. It's a rapidly changing field, which to me is exciting. So it means you've got to keep educating yourself as well as educating those that you deal with.
When you capture it well, when you call them cyber criminals, because they're no better than that, especially when they're going to target someone who's doing the right thing. And this industry, I love it, having been a former Navy guy myself. Really stepping back into cyber in the civilian world has been great for me because it continues that service. We're defending. You know, we're just like the defense industry. We're defending those that have trouble or cannot defend themselves. So well, thanks for taking that risk and still being out there and putting the good word out there. And so what are some of the pieces that you put together when you launched Berkeley or started working with Berkeley? What was the objective?
Well, a lot of our background had to do with designing unique tools that could help solve a problem. And we typically, under one roof, take on all of the design and the manufacturing of the product, which is kind of unique for a company based out of New Jersey, right outside of New York City, because we're literally doing circuit design, software, radio frequency design, and that's really our expertise, is the wireless component. And that really became a big part of our business about the mid-80s when we developed the first wireless test tools, transmitters, receivers, and propagation analysis, which really allowed you to look at what the coverage is for signals propagating, where to place the cell towers, understanding how all these things work. Mobile phones from the first generation up to now, we're getting into our 5G, fifth generation of wireless technology, a global standard. We also understand the weaknesses, the vulnerabilities, and how hackers and cyber criminals can exploit these.
Sure.
So oftentimes that's where we come in as a company, developing tools that will stop a wireless threat from coming into a secure facility, such as a government SCIF where they house classified information, or a Fortune 500 company where they're having a boardroom and they don't want anybody to bring a mobile phone in to spy or
business
or compromise
intel,
any classified information. So those are very common scenarios for us.
You know, fantastic to hear the Jersey accent again. I used to actually go to school right there in Atlantic Highlands.
Oh, okay.
And so at recess, we could look across and see the big city over there by Sandy Hook, you know, past Sandy Hook there. So I know the area. Missed my Carvel's ice cream. You hadn't eaten that yet? Do they do curbside delivery of Carvel's yet?
No, no, no curbside delivery, but we still get the Carvel football cake every year for Super Bowl.
That's wonderful. That's so funny. That was a different time in my life. So, you know, I love this you know, American ingenuity story of manufacturing and development in the same place. You know, you run the risk of actually having the developers get it, or having the manufacturers actually get it right, you know, because they're co-located, you know? Imagine that. Let's take a quick break and go hear from our sponsors.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Hi, this is Abe Thompson back with the new Cyber Frontier. Our guest is CEO of Berkley Veritronics and also author of Hacked Again as one of his books, and we'll talk about some of those. Scott, you've been regaling us with tales of kind of what Berkley has done in technology. How did this all translate then, now fast forward after these many years of leading a technology company? How did this translate to the need, and you've kind of hinted at this, to get the word out in a couple different veins too?
Yeah, I think, again, the more I learn about the threats, the vulnerabilities, I find that it becomes part of my life. People approach me, business colleagues, friends, relatives, saying, "Hey, Scott, I got a problem. My password was compromised. How could that happen? Hey, I'm having problems with robocalls. Hey, we just got hacked at our company with ransomware. What could we do? What should have we done differently?" So I'm constantly talking to people and trying to share what I've learned, because when my company was hacked a few years ago, I went through the entire chain. It was debit card compromised, credit card compromised. I received repeated DDoS attacks to our online store, Twitter account hacked. And finally, I had our checking account was compromised. $65,000 became a federal investigation, paperwork mess. And the common questions I always get, "Did I get the money back?" Yeah, I did. But in the process, it was a lot of work and I learned a lot about it. And so I'm hoping that some of the things, the mistakes that I made, are the tips and things that I could share with people in every day, from a small business owner to a consumer, to a Fortune 500, to a government agency, sharing what I've learned, my mistakes, so they don't go down the same path that I've made from a cybersecurity perspective.
Well, and that's a gut-wrenching time sink on top of it, to have to wade through. I mean, all of us can, you know, think back to maybe an IRS audit or any of those other bureaucratic, you know, processes. And so it wasn't like you got all your money back because you sunk a bunch of your time to get your own money back. And so that's definitely a valiant approach, is to get that story out for the sake of others. How's the book? Which of your books has done had the most effective audience? Which one kind of resonates the most? Have you seen?
Well, I think certainly Hacked Again, because it's really the story of what happened, being targeted and all the steps I went through. However, that being said, cybersecurity is everybody's business is a newer book. It was launched end of last year, so it's not that old yet. Sure. However, that seems to resonate especially with small business owners, because I did target that market a little bit more. So I've noticed a lot of small business owners are reaching out, networking with them and saying, "Hey, I find a lot of value in this book because I can make actionable items. I can do things to stay safe for my small business without a big spend." And I think that's the biggest confusion. People in the world of cybersecurity, they hear that and deer in a headlight feeling all of a sudden, they don't get it and they do nothing.
Sure.
So instead of being complacent, I always encourage people, do what you can do. Some things are free, basic common sense, cybersecurity. That even goes a long way just to deter the cyber criminals from getting into your bank account, compromising your credit card, or compromising your ATM card, whatever the case may be. So I think I try to encourage people, don't be so afraid.
Yeah.
And empower them a little bit. And I think that that's half the battle. Once you could feel comfortable enough and say, okay, I got this. This is not like calculus. I can do it.
Sure.
Then you can make achievable steps in small increments.
Well, and then they begin to understand the value in it and know how to invest. You know, I really love that you've got sort of this evangelistic zeal around that statement, you know, everybody's business. And we in the industry, as you know, have been trying to preach that and really move everybody to that. You know, for the longest time, we were in our silo over here. I spoke with another guest earlier. It said in our department of no, you know, that was all that's all cybersecurity was about. But in reality, we need to be an integrated, embraced, and recognized, skill set throughout the organization, and to challenge everyone to get on board with that. I think is great. And so this is a great call, I think, that you have to the, like you said, the small business folks, because they're not going to survive after one breach.
Yeah,
in some cases,
true.
You know, we see this stuff happening now, this last several weeks or however long we've been stuck in our homes. Some of these companies aren't coming back. A government order has destroyed businesses. You know, one breach could do the same.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I look at this, 30 million some small businesses throughout the United States.
Yeah.
And we're a small business. We're right under 30 employees. I, too, filed for the PPP, SBA, 7A loan application. And we got approval and funds are to be coming in any day now.
Congratulations.
So I'm sure a lot of people are kind of holding their breath and nervous. Can they make it day to day when a lot of the orders aren't coming in? So it is hard to run a continual business. And fortunately, we're considered an essential business because we supply the rail industry and also, again, supplying security tools to the U.S. DOD. So we're working through this pandemic.
Yeah.
But it is a lot harder because a lot of other people are not, or they're, as you mentioned, working remotely. So we've had to learn to adapt how we do business with other government agencies and with end customers. And it is a challenge for everyone.
Well, we know that our adversaries have not slowed down as a result of this.
Yeah.
In fact, they're so nefarious, so deviant in their distaste for humanity that they're even increasing their efforts against us now. Have you witnessed any of that or heard from colleagues?
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. In fact, a lot of the things that the cyber criminals have been doing is looking to exploit whatever the latest problem is. Obviously, COVID-19, it's a pandemic. People are nervous. What are cyber criminals doing? They're trying to target where, especially small businesses, where they're applying for PPP loans and submitting applications. They're trying to do all kinds of creative phishing schemes
sure.
to lure somebody in hopes that they click on a link and a redirect. So they think they're going to their bank site to find out wonderful news that they've got approval or something like that. And guess what? They're really being lured there so they could then divulge more information, unbeknownst to them, maybe an account number, social security number, whatever other questions the cyber criminals are trying to garnish. So really encourage people, be careful not to click on links in emails, but rather go up to the browser and enter in the specific link where you're trying to go.
Sure.
Or if you're not sure, pick up the phone. That's what I've been doing. If I have to verify an email that I got, I pick up the phone, talk to the bank. Did you just send me an email with this loan number or you need more information? Yes. Okay, great. It's legit. It's real.
Sure.
As opposed to just simply clicking on there and falling victim to these phishing scams. They're everywhere and they're getting very creative. And they are very convincing.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I found a real trustworthy long-lost prince from Genovia. And he's all I had to do was send him $500. And he's going to hook me up with a great loan. So we should be good. Yeah, having elder parents as well. I mean, there's so many folks that are going to be vulnerable because at the heart of it is we're still good-natured. Wanting to be trusting folks. I mean, that's also culturally something very common among us as Americans. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt and want to be a trusting folk. And that's, you know, kind of built into us. And so, unfortunately, that's what social engineering takes advantage of.
And I'll give a selfish plug since you kind of opened the door for me. My third book is called Senior Cyber.
I
too have been struggling with my parents and the challenges of not getting compromised with their credit cards, their passwords. Somebody tried to take over my father's computer recently. remote desktop trying to help him. My grandfather recently passed. He was compromised twice trying to help him. And in the process of hearing all these horror stories from my relatives and friends, the cyber criminals are really going after the elderly and trying to scam them. And to me, it just infuriates me. If I make a mistake and I'm dumb enough to click on a link, okay, hey, Scott, suck it up. My mistake. I'm going to learn from it. But when it's my grandfather, my parents, it just annoys me that they're taking advantage of one's innocence.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is. Defenseless and innocent, not ignorant, because these are brilliant people, the greatest generation, all these other things, but they didn't grow up in this technology realm. And so it's still, there's still many that are very much neophyte in the industry. And that just more than annoys, it just rises a righteous anger in me, for lack of a better term. So I look forward to that book. I'll definitely want to see that and you know, give that a platform for sure, and get that to my mom because she's texting now. It's this amazing, amazing thing. Real quickly, let's take a break and go hear from our sponsor.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
And we're back in the new Cyber Frontier. My name is Abe Thompson. I'm here with our special guest, Scott Schober, today. And he's talking about these various books and his upcoming book, Senior Cyber. Looking forward to seeing that one. Tell us more then about sort of the storyline of Hacked Again. What was on your heart and mind, obviously, after everything that had happened to you with that? I love the fact that it's the narrative that people can connect with.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a little embarrassing at first, because when I was compromised, as I shared, going through that whole ordeal, I didn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah.
Here I am in the security industry. I'm a security expert, educating people, selling tools. Business is great. And little by little, people start to hear things. And I'd hear, hey, what happened to you? I heard that you're compromised. Isn't that? And what really kind of launched it, I was actually doing an interview in New York City. I got off of an interview from Bloomberg. I stopped to get a quick bite, and my cell phone rang, and it was the Associated Press. And they said, hey, we're doing a feature on small businesses and with an angle of cybersecurity. And we heard rumor that your business was compromised and hacked. Wow. Would you like to share your story? And I was like, oh God, no, I really don't feel comfortable. But then the more they talked, apparently they heard and kind of did the research on their own enough to know enough about it. And they said, well, we'd really like you to comment instead of us just trying to proceed with the story. So I said, you know what? All right, full disclosure. What am I afraid of? Maybe I can actually help somebody that reads this story. And that kind of got the wheels spinning. I said, geez, maybe there is a story to tell here. I should probably jot some of this stuff down. And a couple friends encouraged me, and colleagues, you really should write a book, Scott. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it clicked, Hacked Again, because it happened multiple times and it keeps happening. So I started writing a book, and before you know it, it took 2 years to finish it. And it just took off ever since.
Sure. Well, and you know, that humility and transparency, honestly, is going to be part of the solidification of our strategy against these adversaries. Yes, we want to protect fiduciary requirements and stakeholder information and those types of things we still want to protect. But it's kind of like when we hear at the ISACs, you know, these information sharing cells, where we're finding a way to get the lessons out there without necessarily risking or causing reputation damage to the businesses, you know, in question. And so, man, if, you know, people like you can lead the way and encourage folks about how to do that in the most balanced way, but still be, you know, brutally honest. You know, that's what folks are going to connect with, obviously.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point when you think about oftentimes organizations from the CEO, the CISO, whoever it is, there's a tremendous fear about the reputational damage, the brand damage. And I go back all the way to, you know, even 2013, I look back at Target and Home Depot and Marriott, all these different breaches. There was a great deal of hesitancy to kind of come clean and say, yeah, we messed up.
Yeah.
And here's what we did wrong. And here's the path we're taking. Sometimes when that span is too long, customers, shareholders, employees, they panic.
Yeah.
So you got to come clean.
Exactly.
The sooner you come clean and have an informative message, guess what? People accept it. They respond.
Right.
And it doesn't take you forever to rebuild that brand that you've been working on forever.
As opposed to you sat on this and, you know, risked me even more. And here we are all these years later.
Exactly.
So I think the next sort of obvious question that comes to mind when I think about what you experienced, and obviously I'm sure you elucidate a lot of these details in the book, but how did you survive after the fact? Because that's the thing that is, you know, most terrifying, is that some will not if they're attacked. How'd you survive?
It's a fabulous question. And I think what happened to me personally, it made me paranoid.
Mm.
And I try to relate that in the book with several different examples where my bicycle was stolen, another book where my car was stolen, the different types of feelings that you go through emotionally when you are compromised in a company. And I think that's what starts to resonate with me and helps me share my story, because I get a very emotional or passionate about it. Yeah. And in a sense, like we were talking about, even with Elder, you get mad when somebody's taken advantage of. I get annoyed when people are trying to steal money from my company or cause me havoc that keeps me up late at night. So it unfortunately does go over into your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, does that mean I can't live? No, I still live. However, I kind of live off the grid. My house is blurred out on Google Images. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't keep published numbers. I do certain things that are a little bit different. On all my social media accounts, I always encourage people to do this too. I use a different birth date.
Mm-hmm.
So I constantly get these, you know, happy birthday reminders at all random times throughout the year, because it's a different birth date on LinkedIn versus Twitter versus whatever when I set my accounts up. But those things are protections when you send out curveballs to people if somebody's trying to compromise your identity.
Yeah.
So I try to do things, you know, obviously I have my credit frozen. I don't have an Amazon account. I have to have other people buy things for me, because every time I open up an account, it's constantly compromised. And my credit card is at this point, it's been over 20 times since it's been compromised. So I tend to use cash for everything.
Wow.
It's difficult. You kind of live a little bit off the grid, and it's hard to run a business and have a personal life while always kind of looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
That's not fun. I don't enjoy that part, but I think it goes with the territory. When I talk to other cybersecurity gurus out there and we compare notes and we joke around, it's very similar. They have similar stories where people really try to send them a message to shut them up. And if anything, if they're passionate about it as I am, it really ups their game, and they do that much more work to educate people so they can fight this battle.
Well, thank you so much for that response, because, you know, a lot of folks would just, you know, completely shy away and quit. And yet here you are turning tragedy into triumph, and that makes a big difference. So in terms of the things you're up to right now at Berkley, what's on the horizon? What are you excited about?
Well, I get excited when I see a huge problem that cyber criminals are causing, and I find a solution to counter it. One area that I don't know why, I guess just doing research and development, it got me super excited, is learning all about skimmers. To me, ATM skimmers and gas pump skimmers, and how that technology's evolved over the past 10 years to being the traditional skimmer that would just simply read the mag stripe on your card, to the new Bluetooth skimmers, got me really excited. And I started educating, again, law enforcement, Secret Service, National Weights and Measures, numerous shows and events where there's an educational side of it, showing them how technology can be used to counter these skimmers that are everywhere. So we developed a simple tool called a Blue Sleuth, and really it's a direction finding tool that allows you to quickly hone in on a gas pump or an ATM and see if there's a Bluetooth skimmer inside there.
Wow.
That to me is exciting because, again, it's looking very focused niche problem, yeah. and there's really not much solution out there. And then we create a unique niche solution. It's a win-win. So obviously from the business side, hey, we appreciate it because we're selling lots of tools to law enforcement. But more importantly, I think from the educational side, we're helping consumers, business owners, law enforcement to realize, hey, there are things out there that you can do to fight back, not just common sense, but even tools to aid in this battle.
Sure. Now, in terms of you know, building sort of a platform of awareness, and you're talking about some of these small businesses in particular, how do they start educating themselves?
Well, I think a lot of times it comes with anything else. People start reading, they start mm-hmm. talking to other people. Once they start doing that, then they kind of associate the different groups. It might be through your local IEEE chapter, your Chamber of Commerce, your local library. That's what I've noticed. I've been asked to speak at a lot of these
sure.
venues
yeah.
for the past number of years, providing basic education. And I think that's closely tied because I launched the books as well. But I find that's a great way to get information for free. Now, obviously, there's industry associations uh-huh. and industry events that you could go to as well that gives you lots of education. I do a fair amount with FutureCon is a great event.
Sure.
Secure World Expo, another great event. I presented at both of those.
Good.
I write for them and submit articles and blogs. So to me, I'm totally immersed in all these things from the educational perspective, but also industry events that are local that don't cost that much to attend, and you could learn about tools and techniques and best practices that the everyday business owner or consumer can use to keep safe.
Sure. And I encourage folks, you know, as you're looking for those types of groups, if you're not even familiar with the names, like ISSA is a big one that we're
yeah.
all familiar with yeah. in this industry. But if you go to meetup.com and just start searching on cybersecurity and those types of things, you'll find so many affinity groups that are kind of a safe place to just go in and sit and listen. And you'll run into these events that'll have speakers like Scott and others from the industry. And so I think that's a great approach, is to just go start learning and listening. Maybe you find a niche that most interests you, and then, you know, you kind of scratch that itch, but then you also learn some practical stuff that can help you in your business for sure.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I also, there's a great website, Cybersecurity Ventures. I'm part of that with Cybercrime Magazine. I'm their,
okay.
their chief security officer. And a video commentator also. So there's a great one-stop shop that
yeah.
talks all about cybersecurity. So there's articles I post up there and some
yeah.
videos interviewing other people and great blogs that are featured there as well, such as this great blog. So I think it's important that people look at the podcast, the blogs,
yeah.
and use the education that's out there
yeah.
just to kind of empower themselves and learn what the latest threats are and what are some practical things that they can do to battle them.
Yeah. And it's a smorgasbord too. I mean, just like
yeah.
with this podcast, you can pull on a topic and, you know, learn specifically what you want. Getting back to the Cybersecurity Ventures, is it cybersecurityventures1word.com?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So cybersecurityventures.com.
It's a great resource there. They're based out of New York and also have offices in San Francisco.
Okay.
Steve Morgan is the editor in chief. He does a fabulous job really curating information that is really educational from everybody.
Good.
And they have a lot of research and reports too. So some of the statistics, that's what I've learned. As I delve into some of these cybersecurity reports, it helps you if you're doing research, if you're developing a product, it's a nice source to go to find out, you know, how many people are victims of, you know, credit card fraud or skimmer activity, the articles like that. Help you do your research and help you develop products to counter the problem. So it's a great resource there.
So can you tease us a little bit with a release date maybe on senior cyber or cyber seniors?
Yeah, actually the book is about 90% written. So
good.
Now I'm going through it. And again, it's co-authored by my partner in crime, as they say, Craig Shover, my younger brother. He's
cool.
He's out of our West Coast.
Okay.
And he's more the video guru. And he's kind of going through it, and we're polishing it to finalize it. So I would say probably late third quarter,
good.
Early fourth quarter in 2020, you're going to see Senior Cyber up on Amazon and everywhere else. And again, we do self-publishing, so it allows us to,
yeah.
to get it out there much quicker.
Sure.
And it allows us to stick toward the core and the thesis of what we're trying to do is, you know, I think is important when you write a book.
Yeah, definitely. Well, he's the author of Cybersecurity is Everybody's Business, the author of Hacked Again, and soon to be releasing Senior Cyber. That's the title. Looking forward to that. Scott, it has been a delight to have you with us. Clearly, you've got that right zeal and passion to get the word, and I'm so glad that the diversity of our industry has evangelists and folks like you out there that are getting the word out. Thanks so much for the time and being on our program.
Oh, great to be on. Thanks so much. And to your listeners and viewers, I encourage you to stay safe.
Yes, indeed. Stay safe in these times. I'm Abe Thompson, and this has been the new Cyber Frontier. Good day.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.